Reporting from the Lincoln Park Involvement Fair, you're listening to Page 29, the official DePaulia podcast.
Welcome to the very first episode of Page 29, the official podcast of the DePaulia, DePaul's student-run newspaper. I'm Cody Corral. I am the multimedia editor at the DePaulia this year, and this podcast has been sort of a passion project of mine, and also a lot of people on staff as well. We thought that there's so much great reporting that happens every single week. There are so many ways to tell stories, and we thought that audio was something that we could definitely integrate more into our platform and into our storytelling. And so we decided to launch Page 29. It will come out every single Monday, the same day as the physical editions of the DePaulia. As always, you can look at every single article on our website, depauliaonline.com. But this is basically a place where we can expand more on the great stories that we tell from different sections of the newspaper with the people who write them and the people they talk to about them. So with that being said, here's the first episode. In this week's episode, Stories of Resilience. How communities find hope when disaster strikes.
Knowing that the first issue of the DePaulia was coming out, and I mean, once Harvey hit, it was kind of obvious that that had to be included, and being Nation and World, that's part of Nation, and affected the world.
This is Evelyn Baker. She's the Nation and World editor of the DePaulia, and for the past few weeks, she's been covering Hurricane Harvey.
So my initial step was, how do I write a Hurricane Harvey story that relates to DePaul? Because that's always, I guess, a good thing to do at the school's paper. And as I normally do, I take to social media and I reach out, because I'm from Texas myself, but I'm from North Texas, just outside of Dallas. And so I couldn't think of anybody at DePaul that I've met from Houston. But what I really wanted initially was to find somebody who was at DePaul but was dealing with the scariness of their family still being in Houston or somewhere around South Texas. And I wanted to seek that out initially, but that didn't happen. But I was contacted on Facebook from a girl that I used to go to high school with. We were friends, and she goes to law school in Houston at South Texas Law School. And I was so surprised. She said, hey, I have a contact who lives in Houston. She was just rescued from her house a couple days ago, and she used to go to DePaul. I was like, ding, ding, ding. That's my person. I had two other people in my back pocket who were in the Galveston area or the Houston area, but they did not have contacts or connections with DePaul. So initially, I'm texting Jessica, who is the former DePaul law student who was in South Texas finishing her degree, and then she'll walk and get her degree at from DePaul in the end. We were talking, and initially I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah, she's a former DePaul student, but I don't really see any other connection. And while we're talking, she mentions that a fundraiser was started in her name by her previous organization peers. It was DePaul Outlaws, which is the LGBTQA organization for the law school.
So I worked with Jessica last year and kind of outside of school talked to her, obviously. And, you know, he was like, you know, what can we do to help? And so we came up with the idea to do a GoFundMe page, just because we were, you know, I was like throwing around the idea with some friends. We started a GoFundMe page so that we can get the school to, most likely somebody in the school is going to be donating. And we figured that, you know, if we let them know that somebody from our actual school and student orgs was being affected by this, maybe they would donate, you know, maybe part of their money to this instead of, you know, just like the, you know, the Red Cross or something like that.
She said that the leaders, two leaders of it now, who were members when she was president of it last year, decided to start this fundraiser. And so I dug into that a little bit more and was able to speak to Liz, who was one of the members now, and she helped start the fundraiser. And then also Jessica, in talking to me, mentioned how her favorite professor at DePaul wrote her an email immediately as the whole Harvey thing was happening. And so I just really was surprised and pleasantly surprised that this DePaul connection was so strong and multifaceted.
Yeah, you know, as I saw the coverage of the storm, she was definitely on my mind because I had had her for two different classes at the law school, and I knew she was doing her final year of her degree back home in Houston to be near her family. So I just really wanted to make sure that she was okay. Obviously, we're here to teach teach students the substantive material, but it's not just that. I mean, we care a lot about their lives and their well-being, you know, physical and mental and professional. So this was, you know, just a very, very small thing to check in with her, but I'm really glad that she's doing well. Sounds like it's been a very harrowing experience.
They've almost reached their goal of $1,500. They've had, I believe, 26 donations in a span of 10 days. And when I was talking to Liz, something that she said, Liz, one of the fundraiser starters, she mentioned how she was surprised at how generous people were. There were donations of $25 up to $100 or more. And she said, I kind of thought that each person would just give $5 and we'd slowly help Jessica that way. But she said, no, it happened so fast. Within 2 days, they were, I think, at 1,000 or more. But yeah, it was awesome. And the fundraiser description, as I write in the article, is for school supplies and work clothes and that sort of thing. And Jessica mentioned how the money has helped her with their accommodations in the meantime when they couldn't be at their house, which I believe they're back and staying at now, despite the damage. But yeah, she was able to use it for, and I think she's still using it for, you know, whatever she and her family need.
We know how expensive books are. Legal books are like one semester easily $500. So we thought if we could at least help her get some money for that, that would be helpful.
I couldn't imagine leaving the house that I grew up in. I'm not sure if she grew up in it, but I'm looking back at my house in Texas, and if I had to hop on a boat with my dogs and a backpack slung on my chest and just say goodbye to my house for, who knows, forever, or I don't know. She was such a positive person to talk to after having gone through all of that.
And you can tell she had, like, a massive impact on the school. Even people that didn't really know her, like, knew her.
Yeah.
And, like, were willing to help out. And there was, like, a sense of community for sure.
So obviously the impact that Jessica had on the school in her leadership role, that, you know, people who didn't even really talk to her wanted to help. And so, you know, that's pretty much it.
In fact, Andy, the treasurer of Outlaws, he was one of the people that I reached out to talk, and he wrote back in an email. He's like, well, I started the fundraiser. I didn't really know Jessica at all. Mm-hmm. I was not really a friend of hers, so I don't think I'd be the best person to talk to. But I thought it was great that somebody who wasn't even a friend of Jessica's decided to actually start this. He had the initial idea to help her. I thought it was really amazing.
Yeah, it really is. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you, Cody. That was great. My first podcast, guys.
Rachel's fundraiser has raised over $1,300 from 26 people in 12 days. You can donate and find more information at gofundme.com/outlawsjr. Ben Conboy has been following Bushra Amiwala, a sophomore DePaul student, as she gears up for her campaign and a potential seat at Cook County's 13th Congressional District.
My name is Ben Conboy, and I am the news editor of the DePaulia. I was working on a story about Bushra Amiwala, who is a 19-year-old sophomore here at DePaul. She's running for the Cook County Board of Commissioners, which is the governing body of Cook County, which is the second, or no, it is the largest county in the country, or most populated. She's running for the 13th district against Larry Suffredin, who is he's an incumbent of 14 years. He's a long time held the position. He's very experienced. She's our own, you know, DePaul student who's running for office. It's really exciting. She's also she's the daughter of Pakistani immigrants, a Muslim woman. So she's got very, very interesting person, and really, really doing well in the campaign.
For sure. What is like her process sort of looking like? Because she's obviously, you know, kind of fresh into the whole campaign.
Yeah, she's got a team of 20 volunteers, about 20 volunteers, and she says it's going up all the time. She technically has not started her campaign because she has to go through the petitioning process, right, which, you know, she's going to people in her district, like knocking on doors. She has to get 500 signatures or else she won't be recognized, her campaign won't be recognized, her name won't be on the ballot. Even though she's only required to get 500, she's anticipating collecting 1,500 because she thinks that her opponent, Larry Suffredin, is going to try and contest every signature, like by saying like, this person doesn't actually live here, this person's not an established resident, stuff like that, to try and keep her name off the ballot. She's fundraising. She says she's lucky that she doesn't have to spend too much money on like PR and stuff like that, right, because she's got so much of her like publicity free just from from interest generated by her campaign.
She's got an insane amount of press already.
Yeah, Chicago Tribune articles. This is our second article we wrote about her campaign.
In the beginning, lots of people spend money on getting their name out there with like print ads in newspapers or in magazines, on social media, but I've actually somehow thankfully just been getting that for free, so I haven't had to focus on spending my money just yet. So just been collecting those funds and again saving up for the big mailer that we'll be sending out.
She's actually doing really, really well considering that she's never had any experience running a campaign or, you know, anything like that. She's actually, I was actually astonished at how well she's like holding it all together. While also she has four jobs. She also full-time DePaul student. Yeah. Yes. I mean, I don't know where she finds the time, but she does.
What are the issues and platforms that she's really passionate about?
One of the main things that she talked to me about was increasing transparency of the Cook County government. They've had like nefarious things going on within them for quite a while. Right. And she wants to make the county's like websites and everything more easily accessible so people can understand more about tax codes. Right now, the websites are like, they're old and dilapidated and they look like they haven't been changed since like the internet was born. And like, it's just, it's almost like you cannot figure it out at all. Right. She really wants to change that, like fixing it and making people aware of the programs that the county has to offer. This was actually news to me when she told me, but 47% of the county budget goes to a healthcare program called County Care. It's essentially free healthcare for people in the county. And no, like, you never really hear about that.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I said, it was news to me.
Once I'm elected, I want to host these workshops for just like your average individual. So once you turn 19 years old, you're not under your parents' health insurance anymore. I mean, you know, like granted, let's say Obamacare has been like repealed and it's not. So County Care is an alternate option. You can get health care from the county and the information and the resources are out there, but you don't have someone hosting a town hall saying, hey, all of you college students, apply for health care. People just don't have health care because of that, but it's offered.
And so one of the things she said is she wants to hold workshops showing people, teaching people how to use and take advantage of the services that are available to us.
What do you think is like, I don't know, in her future, do you think she's going to face, you know, a lot of troubles?
Yeah, she, right now, she's the only her opponent, Larry Sufferton, has not actually officially announced his candidacy yet. So there's rumors swirling that he might be retiring. And if that's the case, then she will certainly win the position because there's no one else running.
Sure.
She said that you know, even though she's got a decent amount bankrolled, fundraising is hard, trying to get the money is hard, and she's ran into mild, bigoted, speech.
Yeah.
Because she's a Muslim, and so she's run into some of that.
I was at the NDFA conference, Northside Democracy for America, and one of the attendees who was there, he was like this like old man, and he came up to me and he's like, oh, he's like, I heard you're running against Larry Sufferton. And I was like, yeah, I am. And then he was asking me a couple questions about like what change I hope to bring, etc. And then he's like, you know, you're lucky. There's that whole Devon area that's in your district. So Devon is primarily South Asian people, Pakistani Americans, Indian Americans, and he was like, you know, that's lucky for you. He's like, unluckily for you, they're not citizens, so they can't vote for you. So a little bit of that in there. I was like, wow.
Which was interesting to me because I never thought about it. I kind of expected, like, as sad as it is, I kind of expected her to tell me that she was going to run into some stuff like that.
Right.
But what surprised me and also surprised her was that she had comments coming from other Muslim people telling her that she's not a real Muslim because, you know, she's showing too much skin on her hands, all that stuff. And that was, she said that most of the comments came from people from within her own community.
That's wild.
Yeah.
And then I've gotten like the other extreme end that's like, hey, as a Muslim woman, you should cover your arms all the way. You know, you have like this much skin stronger, like your hair is showing. But it's like, I like to wear the hijab and like interpret Islam the way I do. And like, I didn't expect people from my own community to kind of come out and be like, hey, but you're not the perfect token Muslim because your hair is showing.
Thank you for coming on and talk to me.
Thanks. Yeah, it was great.
Of course. And finally, Amber Colon reported on the DePaul athletes who redefined what it means to do service in Guatemala.
My name is Amber Colon. I'm the editor-in-chief here at the DePaulia. I sat down with two DePaul athletics students, Joe Hannell, who is on men's basketball, and Kelly Campbell, who's on women's basketball. And they talked to me about their trip to Guatemala. So Joe had gone to Guatemala when he was like a sophomore in high school. He was about 15, 16 years old. It was just a transforming trip for him. So he wanted to bring the same thing back to DePaul.
Yeah.
And he's a senior now. And he spoke a lot about how when he first went on the trip, a lot of it was about like getting things done and doing work and stuff like that. Right. But the second time, he seemed very invested in like the issues and stuff that were going on in Guatemala. There was 9 students total. They were all DePaul Athletics. Mm-hmm. They ranged from like academic year here at DePaul to sports. So there's everybody from track and field to basketball. I think there was a couple soccer players. And then 2 staff members also joined them as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the parts that was cool about it was that DePaul Athletics like loved the idea. They picked up the tab for a lot of the...
It's very Vincentian. So,
yes, exactly. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I reached out to them in the first place, because I had never seen anything like that. And I also know that that was the first time that DePaul Athletics kind of came together to like do a service project.
Yeah.
So it was nice to kind of learn about how they understand like the Vincentian message and stuff like that. They were really passionate about making sure that the trip was not just service. Like, they weren't just going in there to, like, save, like, the Guatemalan children. They were going in there to learn about what was going on and then also to take back what they learned.
You know, like, service doesn't have to just be, like, this grand gesture of going to a third world country. We're hoping that the 9 of us that went can come back here to Chicago. And, you know, if 9 of us get 3 of our friends to do something, then that's, you know, 27 people, you know, and there's so much need in Chicago that needs to be addressed. And I think we all have, as student athletes, we have a really big and important platform, and I think it's our responsibility to like address that and really kind of work home and abroad at just whoever needs help.
They didn't go to Guatemala just to like save the children or like like go there for like a week and then come back. They came back to Chicago and they were really passionate about bringing the change back home. So I think that was something that was really cool. They seemed very aware of the fact that like change has to happen on a greater scale, and a week in a different country is a transformative experience, but you always come back and you have to make a difference here as well.
When you were talking to the people who went, were any of them like saying how they specifically wanted to bring sort of their experiences and stuff to DePaul? I mean, they're not, it's not like they're in government or anything here, but it's very much a community here, and like they have obviously impacts.
So they didn't name anything specific. But they did mention that they were going to try and make this trip a tradition.
Sure, okay.
So kind of continuing it in the summers to come, especially since as like DePaul athletes are here 12 months out of the year.
Yeah.
And they talked about how they wanted to develop a relationship with the home that they stayed at as well. So they worked with an organization called Nuestros Pequeños Hermanos, which is NPH for short. And in Spanish, that translates to our little brothers and sisters.
They have homes throughout Central America. They have 9 of them, I believe. And they just take in, you know, at-risk youth, whether they're facing, you know, abuse, both physically, you know, emotionally, mentally, sexually, stuff like that. No parents, just rough homes. And they give them a place to live. They give them 3 meals a day. And they guarantee them an education, which is huge in Central America. So it's a really unbelievable organization that's making a huge difference down there.
So they worked with at-risk youth, and all of the children were also orphaned. So I know that the home in Guatemala serves about 100 children, and they work with those children like from the beginning of the day till at night. They were telling me that they woke up early and had breakfast. They did a bunch of like landscaping projects throughout the day, and then they would sit down and have lunch with the kids, and then after that they did a lot of like different excursions as well. I was so happy. They told me that they met with 2 journalists in Guatemala who kind of spoke to them about the work that they do and obviously why it's important to be paying attention to the issues that cause things like poverty and orphaned children and things like that within Guatemala.
I guess it was sightseeing because we saw some really cool stuff, but it's like when we went out and like got educated on Guatemala itself. So I think a really cool part of this trip was the speakers that we had gave a lot of background information on the country and the issues that we were facing so that we could get kind of a better picture of why NPH has to exist, why there has to be a home to help all these kids, why there's so much poverty in Guatemala. So it's kind of giving us a why to the issue that's facing the country. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. And then I also know that the NPH home serves 9 different countries. So they're in Guatemala, they're in the Dominican Republic, they're in Bolivia, Peru. So they do a lot of great work. And I know that as a whole, they serve about almost 3,500 children.
Was there anything, like, when you were talking to them that they felt that they like specifically took away from this experience, like, and then what they can translate that into, yeah, like, you know, being back here.
Yeah, they seem very inspired by the fact, mm-hmm, that although all these people were going through, especially the children, like, they, right, had very rough beginnings, mm-hmm, that they were still able to, like, get up every day and, like, put on a smile and go to school and kind of just have, like, positive attitudes.
Mm-hmm. Just how, like, positive everyone down there was. Like, they had all gone through, like, rough beginnings, but they were all very happy, positive, friendly. And just, like, how many things we take for granted. Like, the kitchen ladies woke up at 5 a.m. and would work till 7. Just, like, the hard work that they put in every day.
Both Kelly and Joel told me that that was something that they took away from the trip because we have so much here,
right.
Especially at like a university like DePaul, mm-hmm, that we rarely stop and like think twice about how much we have,
right,
or even we don't have. I would say that that was probably the number one thing that they told me that they both took away, mm-hmm, was just wanting to be positive and being more thankful, I guess, right, being, yeah, grateful for the things that we have here that we don't necessarily have to think about.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Yeah, no problem. Yay.
And that wraps up episode 1 of Page 29. If you're in Chicago, feel free to pick up a copy of the DePaulia every Monday in the Loop and Lincoln Park campuses. And if you're not, you can always check up all of our stories on our website, DePauliaOnline.com. And we'll see you next Monday.